Shaking in your mountain town.
Good evening and welcome to Local Motion, where we go in-depth with local public affairs from around the KBNF listening area. I'm Laura Palmisano, and I'm a millennial. I lived in Arizona before I moved to Colorado to work at KBNF. I moved here for opportunity. Since I started working at KBNF, I've met a lot of young people who also moved to the state for work. This trend got me curious, and I wanted to see if there was data to back up what I was hearing. So I spoke with demographers and economists to see if Colorado was a mecca for millennials, people born between 1980 and 2000. I learned that millennials are the most migratory age group in the United States simply because of their age. Experts say it's much easier for a 20-year-old to move than a 60-year-old because they don't typically have much that ties them down. One demographer told me since the 1970s, the most migratory group in Colorado has been people in their 20s and early 30s. After learning this information, I decided to talk to other millennials about why they moved. I ended up interviewing three young people who also live on the Western Slope.
My name is Megan MacMillan, and I am a chef and an entrepreneur in Paonia, Colorado.
Megan moved to Colorado from Canada 4 years ago. She just found out she's a millennial.
I think that's great because I didn't realize I was a millennial. I thought the millennials were a generation younger than me, so it made me feel quite young. And I was born in 1980, so from what I understand, I am the very beginning of that generation, putting me at the oldest end of that spectrum.
Megan explains why she moved to the state.
When I was looking at culinary schools, the one in Boulder was the only school I could find in North America that was a legitimate culinary school that actually had a farm-to-table focus. And that's what my background was in Toronto, and I wanted my culinary skills to reflect that. And I think that that's telling right there, because I think farm to table is a growing movement. We all know that. And it was only in Boulder, Colorado, that there was actually a program that was based around it.
After finishing culinary school, Megan came to the North Fork Valley, an agricultural area in western Colorado.
I think May of 2010, and so the farms were really just getting going in their season at that time, but what I saw and tasted was outstanding, and I came back to work with that food.
Megan opened North Fork Foods a year and a half ago.
They have all this bok choy, which is really beautiful, except some bugs got into it, so it's got all these holes in it.
Her company makes and sells farm-to-table prepared meals and caters events.
The goal would be to have a small business that's producing year-round food from the valley, and then also perhaps branching out a little bit into a small restaurant or a cafe or a tapas bar or something like that, and a storefront where people can buy our products but then also other locally made products. And I would love to have a little learning kitchen, a place where people can come and take cooking classes and learn about how to eat seasonally and what to do with some of these vegetables that people really don't necessarily know what to do with.
Megan says she would love to stay in Colorado.
I am from Canada, and there are times where I miss certain aspects of Canadian culture, but I feel so lucky to be in this part of the world. And if I can make this business work, I would really like to stay in Colorado.
There are about 5.3 million people living in the state. It's estimated millennials represent about 28% of the state's population. That's about 1.5 million people.
Okay, I'm Kelsey Gibb. I'm 23, and I moved out to Colorado about a month ago.
Kelsey Gibb moved to Carbondale from Vermont. Before she moved, she lived with her parents for a year after graduating from college in 2013. She worked part-time and tried to find full-time work in New England, but wasn't successful.
Senior year, that was definitely something that we all had to come to terms with was, you know, you're probably not going to get your dream job right out of college. It's all about getting something, you know, getting experience and then, you know, getting a year or two of experience and then kind of changing to something more along your interests, I guess the lines of your interests.
Kelsey now works as an administrative assistant and rebate specialist for a solar company. She says she moved to the state for work.
Well, I think that Colorado definitely offers a lot that maybe other states don't. So I think it's a nice balance of like work hard, play hard, which I think is really appealing to a lot of millennials.
Kelsey says she's not sure if she will stay in Colorado.
I probably see myself probably in the next 3 to 5 years going back to school. I would really like to go to graduate school, maybe get an MBA. I am not quite sure. I want to take the next couple of years to figure out what I want to go back to school for, but that's definitely something that's important to me. I feel like in the next 5 to 10 years, there's a good chance I'll probably move back east. All my family is back there, but I don't know. Maybe I'll stay here forever. I'm not sure, but I think definitely school is important.
Hi, I'm Troy Bowen. I'm from Cedar City, Utah. I'm 19 years old. I live in Paonia, Colorado.
Troy moved to Colorado 2 months ago.
I still haven't figured it quite out yet, so I'm just doing the Joe Schmo job until I really figure everything out.
He dropped out of high school at the age of 15 and got his GED. He says he didn't want to go to school. He wanted to work and started doing everything from construction to selling knives.
I feel our generation is either we're hard workers or we're really lazy. So you can really pick and choose between my generation.
Troy moved to Colorado because he says it was hard for him to find work in Utah.
They don't like people that look like me, tattooed and gauges, piercings, long hair. It's not what they want there. And it's very hard for people like me. It's hard for us to get jobs in places like that. And here it's just, no one cares. As long as you're a hard worker, you got a job.
Since moving to the state, Troy got a job at a restaurant.
I have my food handler's permit, which I just got, you know, just open doors, you know, just to have it. And really being a dishwasher, that's the first job most people get in the kitchen. And then it goes into what I'm doing now. Now I'm cutting meat, making salads. I started cooking the other day.
Troy also helps to support his mom.
I sent her my entire paycheck last paycheck. Except for like $20, just so I can, you know, have a pack of cigarettes.
The three millennials interviewed for this program all say they moved to Colorado for opportunity, and they like that they can live an active lifestyle in a place that's easygoing. If you are just joining us, we are exploring why millennials are moving to Colorado. Martin Shields is an economics professor at Colorado State University. I spoke to him to find out why millennials are migrating to the state. Martin, what do you know about millennials?
Well, millennials are an interesting generation. In what we're looking at nowadays, some people are saying these are very different folks, but at the same time, they are not that different than the people before them. When they move, they're still looking for opportunities to make a better life for themselves, just like my generation did. They might have more opportunities. They might see a more global reach for their migration destinations. they might be more open to moving themselves further away from home. But if the bottom line is they're looking for opportunities to create a good life for themselves.
I've noticed in some of my field reporting that I've met a lot of young people who have moved to this state for work. Why would millennials want to come to Colorado?
Well, there's a couple different things that motivate people's decisions to move. One of them is certainly the job market. Colorado fared the recession a little bit better than the nation did. The unemployment rate, for the most part, stayed well below the national rate, so it had a decent, healthy job market compared to a lot of other opportunities. And Colorado, what happens for a lot of millennials especially, but for many generations, is it's not just a job search. It's where do I want to have a job? And with Colorado's economy doing fairly well, relatively well, and also saying, well, Colorado offers a lot of the things that I find I would really appreciate. Maybe it's the amenities of the mountains. Maybe it's recreation. Maybe it's the sunshine. Maybe it's a little bit more affordable housing or a little bit less congestion. All these other things that enter people's lifestyle decisions. And so Colorado kind of competes well on a number of those different attributes.
The state of Colorado, historically, since the 70s, the biggest migration group are people 20 to 35. Why might that be?
Historically, nationwide, that's the most migratory demographic component. And demographers and economists, we look at migration decisions over the life cycle, we say. And when you're 20, 22, 23 years old, when you move, a new place will offer greater benefits than when you're moving 40, because we think about the lifetime benefits that people receive when they move. And when you move when you're 20, you have 40 years to recoup all those costs. And when you move when you're 40, you have a much less shorter time to recoup those costs. So the migration becomes a lot more expensive. Plus, when you're younger, you might not have children that you're worried about that are entrenched in their schools, entrenched in their activities. You might not have children at all, or they might be 2 or 3 years old. And you just feel like you have a lot more different opportunities than as you age through the life cycle.
It's difficult to find an accurate age bracket for millennials. Pew Research Center goes from 1985 to 1996. The state goes 1980 to 1999. How old are millennials? When were they born?
The literature has no specific definition. Some people think that the millennials, the original coining of the term was the people that would come of age, would become adults or 18 at the year 2000. So those were people born in 1982. And then the ending of that just 1998, 2000, 2002. It's kind of a fuzzy concept. But, the year it starts and the year it ends aren't so important. It is a generational thing. I can't imagine someone being born in 1982 being substantially different from someone born in 1981.
No, but I would say someone born in 1982 is very different from someone, say, born in 1992, just life experiences.
Right. When you're born in 1982, you saw people crash airplanes into buildings in New York City. 10 years later, that wasn't a formative memory. So there's certainly an aspect of that, the experiences that you have in your lifetime. So our lives are evolving, they're changing, our experiences form who we are, and kids born in 1982 are very different than those born in 1996, certainly in the experiences they have. Some don't really remember the Cold War. Some people don't remember 9/11. Some people don't remember the invasion of Iraq, the first one, or the first Gulf War. So very, very different, very dynamic times, certainly altering people's perceptions.
What makes millennials different from, let's say, Generation X or baby boomers?
That's a really good question. And that's a pretty common question, like, why are they different? And there's a lot of research in there that says that the millennials are what we call, they might call them Generation We, and Generation X, people were calling Generation Me, where the Generation We folks were more interested in civic ideas in terms of institution building, in terms of the thought that, that the public sector, the government, can actually do good things in people's lives through environmental regulation, maybe. So there's some sense that folks are different that way. It may be a little bit more civic-minded, that a little less distrust of government than that previous generations. Those are all things that people are that are used to kind of tag the millennials. But at the same time, there's, like every generation, there's tremendous amounts of heterogeneity within that generation, a lot of variation within that generation. You know, you can't just say because someone was born in 1988 that they're a certain type of person. There's different experiences, different places they grew up, different levels of education, different roles of religion, different roles of their experiences, all those things. There's just not a certain, you just can't paint someone by the year they were born.
In my search for trying to find data on millennials who moved to Colorado for work, I discovered it wasn't that easy, and the state nor the census really have those kind of numbers. What do we know about millennials, number-wise and fact-wise, living in Colorado?
The pre-recession and the post-recession millennial movements were a little bit different. The job market was certainly super paramount in the mid-2000s, and we saw a lot of millennials moving into Austin, Houston, Phoenix, were all these rapidly growing southern cities that were creating these job opportunities. And that was certainly the magnet for the millennials in 2004, for the younger generations, 18 to, well, say, let's say 20 to 30 year olds that were moving to those southern cities.
What about Denver?
After the recession, Denver really took an uptick. And in around 2011, one of the numbers I saw was that more people in that millennial age group, especially with the college-educated age within that cohort, the absolutely most desired human talent target there is for a community, that Denver topped the list, that more college-educated people in that age cohort moved to Denver in about 2011 than any other city in the country. And so that was this post-recession, this movement. And so there's some interesting research questions that we haven't quite figured out, is what made the choices after the recession, of the migration choices after the recession of these millennials, a little different than those who were moving 5 years earlier.
When are we looking at the end of the recession?
Well, it officially ended in 2009, but unemployment was still substantially high. Just only a couple months ago, the U.S. Employment totals surpassed their pre-recessionary peak. That was in 2007, and it just took us 7 years almost to get back to our pre-recessionary employment. So even though the recession was officially over, the economy was still struggling, and the economy is doing better in some places than others. Colorado is doing quite well. And so when people are making these migration decisions, a lot of times they'll say, okay, what kind of place do I want to live in? What am I looking for? And what's the job market like in those places? So there's two things. Where do I want to live in terms of the lifestyle it affords, in terms of the amenities that are available, and what types of job opportunities are out there. And Colorado scores pretty well on both of those. Before the recession, the job market in the South was, in Texas and in Georgia and some of these places, was just so hot that they were just a great opportunity. With the recovery a little more tepid, we see these other bundles that give people what we call utility, but give people well-being, these other attributes became more important in their decision. And so people say, well, I like it where it's sunny, but it's not too hot. Okay, that's good. That's Colorado. I like it where I can go hiking in the mountains, or I can ski, or I can snowboard. Well, that's Colorado. So I don't, and if they're not as you know, in a high-paying job when they're coming out, which is the case for a lot of the younger folks that are just finishing school. They're not necessarily moving into those high, super high-paying jobs. The coasts, where a lot of people had migrated to, are pretty much off the table because they're just so expensive.
Talking to millennials, and I interviewed three for this story, a woman who's 34, a young woman who is 23, and a 19-year-old, a 19-year-old male. They all have different perspectives on why they came here to Colorado. The woman, the older one, who was born in 1980, she moved here from Canada and is an entrepreneur and started her own business. The 23-year-old graduated last year, and it took her a year and a half to find a job. She moved here for a job from Vermont. And the 19-year-old said where he was living in Utah, because of the way he looks, he has tattoos, engages, it was hard for him to find work, and he moved to Colorado. Okay. Because he feels like here, there's not so much of a emphasis on his appearance. So they're all different stories. What do you kind of think about that?
Well, that's the amazing thing, is that it just represents that we can't just pigeonhole people into moving solely for one reason and just say that this is the overarching reason that people move. You know, underlying all those stories is a desire to earn an income, right? The chap with the tattoos, he wants a job, and he wants to be a place where people will accept him in his appearance and then provide him a chance to make some money. And the entrepreneur, those are all job-related things. But at the same time, each of these individuals brings a whole different background with them in that migration decision. We've got the entrepreneur who's maybe attracted to Colorado's a pretty good entrepreneurial climate here, that we're supportive of small businesses. We encourage, especially along the Front Range, we encourage these small businesses to flourish. It's kind of an ethos here that we grow our own, rather than try to bring some from the outside. So they're all fitting in this migration decision with an income component of some type, but they all are here for very, very different reasons. One of the things that we didn't touch about that just came into my head, though, is the notion that demographers and others have looked at is what we call a beaten path effect. And what you do is you look where other people, and in the old days it was maybe people immigrating from Italy to New York, and then the word getting back to their hometowns that, America's the land of opportunity, and these people landed in upstate New York, and so let's all end up in upstate New York. So it's this beaten path effect. And what we see in more modern times, or more recent times, is the college-educated following each other. So like Austin became a growth city for college educated, Research Triangle in North Carolina became a growth area for college educated. And that's where I think Denver is, the state's highly educated. Denver's a very highly educated city. When you finish school as a millennial, you kind of go to the place that you kind of look at where the other college educated folks are going. And I think that's another reason that Colorado's seen a pretty substantial in-migration of those folks.
Another thing we didn't really touch on, but what came up in my interviews with these millennials, the marijuana laws in the state. The young people seem to like those. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's not necessarily probably the case, and this is just kind of shooting off the cuff a little bit. I don't think it's the case, like, because they legalize dope, I'm moving there. It's more along the lines of, you know, they're pretty tolerant of that. They're pretty open-minded of that. It's just kind of representative of the ethos here. And they kind of, that's more attractive, that it's not maybe not viewed as judgmental or as draconian or whatever like that, that it's just... It's just, in that sense, more of a lifestyle decision.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Laura.
That was Martin Shields, an economics professor at Colorado State University. You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Laura Palmisano. Stay tuned for As the Worm Turns, coming up next.
Shaking in your mouth.